This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. First, a note to Frank and Barry, my producer. Frank and Barry, I'm sitting at home recording, and I'm sideways on the chair with like one half of my left hip on the chair and my left arm leaning on the back of the chair. And you probably know why. And that's because Beatrice, my cat, has taken over the chair. So I'll just sit here sideways, leaning, kitten, while you do your thing. Right, Frankenberry, is what we do. We make space for the kittens. I love it. All right, Ida is back with us again for the third and perhaps final podcast in this session.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you, love. We've been talking about and learning from her son, Nathan, who is on the autistic spectrum and living in a special place because of that, living happily and well in a special place because of that. And we've talked about your journey thus far, you know, the diagnosis and the learning and getting him into, what's the name of the place he's in?
The Center for Discovery,
getting in there and watching him thrive. But there's been this underlying percolation, which you've touched on, and now I want to dive deeper in. And that's the psychic part of this mission, or the woo-woo part, or the out-there part. Now, I want to tell you something. After our last podcast, we recorded on a Friday. That night, I came home from work, and my nephew was here with his new girlfriend. I don't think we ever met before. And they're sitting at the table having pizza with my husband, and I just come in, and we start to chit-chat, and I'm asking her about her family. And she said, you know, her mom this, her dad this, and her brother is autistic, and he's homeschooled, and she talked a little bit about his journey. And I said, wow, that's so funny that you bring that up, because I just did a podcast with my friend Ida this morning, and we were talking about the special gifts these kids have. And she said, this is a woman I never met before, sitting in my kitchen eating pizza. She said, yeah, these kids are meeting up at night in their dreams and talking to each other. And I was like, I got chills and I got pinned up against the wall. And I'm like, oh, this is not first date conversation. Know what I mean? But she was unafraid to go there. That's part of her world, her experience. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. It is called The Hill, and the telepathy tapes references it. And it is this, let's just call it a dimension, where these souls are able to telepathically, psychically, energetically communicate. And it's something that, as far as I have heard, sometimes those that are not as neurodiverse, if you're open enough, you can also visit the hill. And it sounds crazy, but it is 100% true. I've had my own experiences. I don't know if it's been the hill or, you know, but it has been with autistic souls, including Aaron, who I shared with in a prior episode. He communicated to me that way, and also said that him and Nathan do all the time. And so it is at night. It is very real. And it's something that I can only, just from the stories that I've heard, and where I've learned the most about it is through the telepathy tapes, in hearing many, many stories and accounts of what happens on the hill.
Okay. So Aaron, if I recall, he is an older teenager.
Yes, 20.
And so you've had communication with him on this level?
Yeah, look, you would say it was a dream, you know, like sleeping. And I remember when I first listened to the telepathy tapes, and, you know, I've known Aaron for a lot of years as a nonverbal, autistic, beautiful soul in my life. And it was always very, like, not sure how much to touch or communicate, or, you know, you always sort of don't know how to act in those situations. And once I listened to the telepathy tapes and I understood the truth of just how intelligent and how incredibly sensitive he was, before I went to sleep, it was almost like I had set this intention to, to visit with him, to apologize to him. And it was very much him and I having a very, again, it's hard to explain it because it really is beyond words, but there were words exchanged telepathically. And what I said to him was, you know, I'm really so sorry that I didn't fully see you, right? That I, you know, didn't. And he just said, thank you. Like there was no, he said, thank you for helping my mother, you know, come to this. Thank you for, and like, it's okay. Like I'm okay. Nathan's okay. Like it was just this very like place of forgiveness. And I don't know if that was the hill, but it was a very, he was able to completely speak in a way that he can't, you know, in the real world. Mm-hmm. And there was just a, I don't know, just a deep understanding. And after that day, it shifted the way that we communicated energetically. And I remember there was one time where
me and Aaron,
yeah, where I had brought Nathan home for his 12th birthday. And I just broke down. It was just too much for me to handle how much he had regressed, having all the people there that loved him and just feeling the weight of it. And I just could not hold it together. And I remember Aaron was there and he was sitting on the couch and I just sat on the couch and I held his hand and I kept telling him, just come back and just sit with me. And there was, I just felt myself being filled with light and being comforted by him without words, with everyone in the party just running around and doing their, you know, trying to, you know, I just crying. What do we do? Like, you know, all of that. But there was no person in that room and in that space that could reach me the way that he did.
Aaron.
And Aaron, right. Just sitting next to each other on the couch, connecting energetically, feeling healed. And I just said to him, I need you.
Yeah.
And he understood that. And it was a very deep connection. And we've had many of those moments. But I felt like the catalyst was, again, having that conversation on the hill, you know, after I really understood. And I felt horrible. I was really like, I'm so sorry I didn't see you, you know, and now I do.
Beautiful, beautiful. That, wow, that's amazing. All right. So you said you were sad because Nathan came home and he regressed. He regressed because he was home?
No, I mean, it's based on this Phelan-McDermott syndrome. A lot of what the pain points have been with Nathan have been watching your child over the years lose skills,
okay,
right? Lose their language, lose their independence, lose their ability to regulate themselves. There was a lot of regression of skills that were unexplainable. And so bringing him home for his birthday and witnessing, it's almost like when you have something that you're going through, I've heard people say that when someone is a witness to it, that's when you really feel it and it really hits you. And so, you know, he was surrounded by his teacher and therapists and neighbors and family. And I saw through their eyes the pain that they were experiencing because they could no longer have a conversation with him. Or, you know, we were, again, the what he used to be able to do compared to what he could do. And it just hit me. And it was devastating in that moment.
Yeah.
And in that experience. And it was just too much for me. And, you know, I kind of am someone that will just put on a happy face and just say everything happens for a reason. And it's all supposed to be this way. And, you know, he's perfect as it is. But look, there's also a tremendous grief in losing the child you knew, right? In a way that, you know, he's still there and he's a lot and he's full and he's whole. But that's what hit me in that. It was sort of that year that people were away from him and seeing the drastic regression, you know, through their eyes.
And I want to acknowledge and honor this for you and for your husband and for aunties and grandparents and the whole family. You know, when a little baby comes into the family, we all have hopes and dreams and plans for that little baby, right? And even though that little baby is alive and functioning and well in his own way now, there's a lot of hopes and dreams that will never be. And I feel that, and I'm just your pal, you know? So I just want to honor for moms and dads and families. I hope you, Ida, are taking such super good care of yourself. I hope you have a therapist. I hope you have, you know, play dates. This is a lot for everybody.
Yeah, it definitely has taught me my pace is very different these days, and I'm always surprised at how much restoration I need.
Yeah.
And I remind myself of everything I'm carrying emotionally, you know, from that. And also the belief system that we've shared on these last two episodes, that he is perfect as he is. And I truly do believe that, but it doesn't mean that I don't have a deep grief of the child that I lost, that I used to, you know, be able to wake up with and smell his head and have a conversation with. And, you know, he was like the mayor of his school. I remember I would go into, you know, the community and they would say, "Oh, you're Nathan's mom?" Mm. And the people would just light up because he was able to, again, communicate a little bit more than he can now. He still does light everyone up, but again, through less words. But yeah, there is definitely a deep grief and a healing that I'm still going through.
Yeah.
And I have to give myself grace.
So thank you for giving yourself grace, and you're giving us all grace by sharing this journey with us. So that day after our last podcast, I came home and had pizza with a young woman whose little brother is on a journey similar to this. And she tells me about these kids meeting up in their dreams. I was like blown back. So the very next day, I went into the city. My niece and her husband took me into the city to take me to a show. It was a Christmas present. And she used to work at a very big school in New York City for autistic children. And I don't want to mention the school, but I bet you know the name of it. And she worked there for many years, and she worked with children just like this. So we're walking through the city in the snow, and I said to her, "Haley, I met this young woman last night, and she said her brother's on the spectrum and that he meets up with other kids in dreams at night. I mean, you worked in that school for so many years. Do you have any stories about, you know, autistic kids with psychic abilities?" And her husband took both of his hands and pointed them towards Haley, like, "Go ahead, Haley, tell the story." And I'm like, "What?" And she says, "Yeah. When she was new at the school, there was a young man in the school, a young teenager. And in this school, they allowed the children to roam around because they wanted the children to follow their passions. And this particular child had a passion for finding out everyone's birthday. So Haley was new to the school, and he wandered into Haley's room, and the aide follows and says, let's call him Bob. This is Bob. And Bob would like to know your birthday." And Haley, you know, got into a conversation like, "Hi, Bob, I would love to tell you my birthday." And he said, "July." And she said, "Yes, my birthday is in July." And then the aide said, "Well, don't you want to ask her the date?" And he said, "The 20th, July 20th. And Haley said, "That's right, Bob. You got it. You got it." And he wrote it down in his little book and went back to his classroom. And Haley was like blown away, of course. But then she found out almost every teacher in the school had a story with Bob. And Bob had wandered up to one teacher once and pointed to her belly and said, "Stacy." And the teacher gasped because, first of all, no one knew the gender of her baby. She had just found out. People maybe didn't even know she was pregnant. And it was just prior that she and her husband had talked about what they would name the baby. Nobody knew. And he walked up and pointed to the baby in her belly and named it. So I keep thinking, you know, Ida, these are stories that, you know, I look in your eyes and you're like, "Yeah, this is what I'm trying to tell people," right? So
it's also the coherence of we had that conversation that next day. Yeah, it's this truth that's bubbling up, and it's showing that the more you speak it, the more you feel it, it will come to you over and over and over again. It's just waiting, right? And you can speak to, again, your niece, your husband, it's so many things. And I have no doubt that something like that will happen again.
Yeah.
After this episode, it just is this idea of it's all there. And it's been confirmed by, I don't say hundreds of thousands of stories. I mean, we're very fortunate that Kai Dickinson, who put this telepathy tapes together, is actually now documenting all of them. There are many, many others. But what you're sharing is each episode is 10 different stories, you know, that are that. And many of what's interesting is that many of them are practitioners, educators, you know, people that you wouldn't think would have this story to share. They're sort of apprehensive to say it out loud. But as soon as there's a community that's sharing, you ask the question, it pours out. Yeah. Just like, you know, Haley, go ahead. Tell us your story.
And like, I was surprised that, I was surprised that she didn't tell me that story sooner, like when it happened.
Right.
But
right, knowing that you would get it.
Knowing that I would get it. But also, too, she is of this beautiful generation that respects boundaries. And it wasn't really her story to tell until I asked. Right.
Right.
She's of that beautiful generation that, you know, that's him and he's him. And that's you don't go around. You don't make it chatter. Right. It's too sacred to be chatter.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you for being in the sacred space with us. As you traveled along that journey, you took another step, and that was to put yourself in a state where perhaps you could communicate more with Nathan. Was that the reason why you did mushrooms?
Well, I did therapeutically. I did go on psychedelic journeys, and it was because I struggled with depression and anxiety. I have, you know, most of my life. And you can imagine the weight of carrying everything with Nathan in this year that, you know, I had ripped from my home, ripped from my arms, like the you know, all of that pain. I felt very much like I need help, you know, in order to process and deal. And I started to read a lot of things. I watched the documentary, How to Change Your Mind,
yeah,
which is all about psychedelics and the research mm-hmm. that was, you know, stopped in the 60s, but that, mm-hmm. you know, the tremendous healing powers of these medicines. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what do I have to lose? You know, there was, and of course, it was something that just was a thought.
Right.
But as coherence works, there was a practitioner that I was connected with that I did a lot of sound healing and other type of energy work. And she put something out there that she does these journeys because it's legal in certain states. And I said, you know, I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And so over a year, I did multiple journeys. And in the very first one, Nathan came and said, this vibration that you're in, this is where I exist. His message to me was, I'm okay, because my big thing was, are you okay? What can I do? How can I help? You know, what's, you know, give me the answer, you know, and again, I didn't know he was going to come to me. I didn't do it to necessarily communicate to him. I did it to say, hey, you know, I read something that said one journey on psilocin will take the place of 2 years of therapy, or, you know, fix your depression. And it didn't do that. It wasn't this quick fix. But what it did do was it opened up this channel of truth and this connection with Nathan telling me that this is where I am. I'm in this dimension, this euphoric, blissful. It's very hard to describe what it is even like to have a guided experience like that. And again, it was just him telling me, Mom, you need to take care of yourself. Like, I'm okay. And then in a later journey, his message was, because you need to be the voice for the voiceless. Like, you need to help us spread this message, this truth. But he knew I wasn't ready to have that weight on me until the third journey, where he really said, Mom, this is your mission. And, you know, you're up for it.
I'm just speechless.
And
so happy for you. And crazy. So you did three journeys with this.
I did three journeys. And I'll just say the first one, the main message was Nathan telling me he was okay, because he knew I needed to hear that and feel that in order to release the depression and the weight that I was carrying. And I, you know, I asked him, you know, what about the medicines? Like, because I knew he was on all these antipsychotics, and I felt very much in my core that they were wrong for him. And he said, Mom, I'm fine. You'll figure it out. Like, it's okay. And of course, through the Center for Discovery, we weaned him off all those medicines. The second journey was very much about experiencing the web of every expression of love, or every way that I have influenced others in a positive, like having that, we feel that all at once and understand that, don't stop. like as hard as it is for you and as much as you want to clam up and, you know, you being extrasensory, you also carry with it. You feel everything, including anxiety and depression and the heaviness. And so it's like the weight of it. And so it was very much me feeling the other side of it, the ripple effect, and having that validation that you're here to keep expressing yourself and just trust the process, like hold the vision, trust the process. The amazing agents that I actually just spoke with this morning, that's a line that I say to myself all the time. And that was the second message. The third one was very much this, you are the voice for the voiceless. This is this mission, this whole AI quantum shift sort of solidified in that one. And so it sort of was like, pace yourself, but speak out. And it's going to be scary and a lot's going to happen, but you need to just take the next step. So that was a very, and I'll say that the second journey was very much about releasing old baggage of like ancestry kind of stuff that wasn't mine.
Right.
So again, the first one was his truth. I'm okay. You know, you're okay. Take care of yourself, because if you don't, there's nothing's going to happen here. The second one was this releasing of what's not mine, all the guilt, all the baggage, all the ancestral. So that shedding. And it was very visceral, a lot of vibrating and humming and just feeling incoherence. And so the more I did the medicine, the more comfortable I felt, you know, kind of leaning into it. Mm-hmm. And then that third one was very much, this is your mission, your purpose, the voice for the voiceless. And yeah.
Good job. Good job. You mentioned agents. Tell people, remind people what you do for a living right now.
So, you know, in my day job, you know, I am a mindset and marketing coach for real estate agents. So for a big real estate firm, and I've done that for 25 years, you know, in the industry. And it really is, you know, teaching brands, but I've also evolved it into a little bit more of the spiritual, leading meditations, interviewing authors, as you do on our little internal podcasts. But yeah, I work directly with real estate agents to help them build their businesses and their brands, but really to be true to who they are. There's always been a spiritual spin in everything that I do. And so it was very validating to start to share some of this stuff, this truth with the normies, let's just call it, my sort of sales force that I'm very close with, and to have a few reach out, the ones that I know would really get it and say, oh my goodness, like, boy, are you onto something. Yeah. Keep going. How amazing. And to sort of feel that from the real world. And I needed that. And, you know, and so that was a call that I got this morning. And it's Maris and Kenny Blumstein. So thank you for your vote of confidence. And yeah, pretty amazing.
Beautiful. So our time is up for now. I want to know what you're going to do next with all this information. I want to know if you're going to start your own podcast, YouTube channel. How are you going to rally the troops? Do you think the people will just find you?
Well, I think yes, yes, and yes. You know, I think there will be some sort of, whether it's I think it is a YouTube channel, maybe a Facebook group, this, you know, just starting to bring a community together and tap into the communities that exist that are having this conversation. And I don't know. And, you know, the answer is I don't know exactly what it will be, but I know that I'm going to keep speaking up and speaking in rooms that might not get it. And that's okay, because the one person that does always leads me to the next right step. And so some of those are really in rooms that feel a little bit more corporate, that seem a little bit more like, hey, they're not going to get it, because I feel like that's where there might be a breakthrough that's unexpected.
Well, keep trusting your gut, because it's gotten you thus far, and it is impressive. And think about this, too. I'm your friend, and it took us 3 podcasts to get to the heart of this message, right?
Yeah.
So much.
Well, I have to say, I mean, we've known each other, I don't know, 10 years. And, you know, I can remember, you know, we've done coaching things together. I remember when we were on the train, I think coming up from the Open Center panel that we did, and you shared your vision for your nonprofit, for Let It Shine, for the boutique, for everything that you've done. And I watched you create it just from that vision. And it was pretty incredible to just see you do that. And I have to say, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm behind. Like, I'm, you know, I watch her do all this. And then I was like, you know what? You're on your own journey. But I sort of, there was that inner critic that we talk about that was telling me, oh my goodness, like, look, she says it and she does it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have to just say, it was that, probably that part of your heart that was looking for your own path, but my path, I just got out of the way. You know what I mean? Like, it was a very, somebody gave me an idea, and I don't know where it came from, and I got out of the way. Like, I'm following it. So, yeah. And I feel like
here's to getting out of our own way.
Yeah. And just let all the forces come in and do their stuff. And now the whole Let It Shine experience, I have to show up every now and then and say, I think these gourds are getting moldy. Take them out of the basket, or these pants are not in size order. Like, that's my job now, to do the smallest little nitpicky thing because everybody else is doing the big stuff, you know? It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Such a beautiful vision. Well, I just applaud you, and I just feel so honored to be in your beautiful tribe. And I thank you so much for creating this space to feel safe enough to fly my freak flag.
I love your freak flag. Read that quote of the card you pulled this morning. Do you mind?
Sure. So I pulled a card. It's called The Visions of Life Beyond Death. And it gave me an affirmation. I now release any fear I have associated with seeing the truth, with seeing beyond the veil of illusion, or with my inner vision opening up from my heart, mind, and body. I release any wounding I have received in relation to what I have witnessed at any time, especially where it is based in the fearful responses of others. I ask that my vision be restored to its fullest through compassion and unconditional love. So be it.
Shine on.